Now we'll talk about sattvic tyaga. What is the highest form of tyaga? So as we said, the tamasic is the lowest out of ignorance. The rajasic is given out of pain. But what is sattvic? What is the pure tyaga, pure giving up? So we'll talk about that. Verse number 9. Karamit yeva yat karma.
Niyatam kriyate arjuna.
Sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva.
Sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva.
Satyagas sattviko matah.
Satyagas sattviko matah.
So satyagas sattvika matah. So what it is believed, and it is my opinion and also the opinion of all great scholars, satyaga sattvika. What is sattvic tyaga? What is the highest, purest form of giving up? She says, karyam iti eva yat karma. So, whatever activities are done, why karyam? It is to be done. It is necessary to be done. Not doing is death. That is called karyam iti yat karma. Niyatam. And these niyatam means obligatory duties. We had talked in detail of last week about it, but I'll discuss again a little bit what are obligatory duties. So one who does his or her obligatory duties, why? Because it is the thing to be done. There's no question, there is no doubt. It needs to be done, it has to be done, it must be done, I must do it. There's no question in his mind when it comes to doing his obligatory duties. But how are they to be done? You know, whatever my duties are, how is it to be done? Sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva. Sangam means attachment. Phalam means fruit. So without attachment and without fruit, when a person does his or her obligatory duties, such tyaga is called sattvic. He does not give up his duties. He does the duties with the right attitude. And what does he give up? He gives up attachment and he gives up the fruit. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So first I'll just talk briefly what is niyatam karma. What is obligatory karma? We had talked in detail last week. But just in brief, there are two kinds of karmas. One is the forbidden actions, you know, which is there in all the, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not cheat, thou shalt not, you know, whatever, kill. So those are the forbidden, those should not be done. Now the activities that should be done are of two kinds. One is nityam and one is naimitya. Nitya means daily activities, activities that I do every day. You know, every day I must get up, take a bath, go to work, you know, do my duties, whatever I have been assigned to do, whatever my job is. So these are daily activities. And then there are special activities. As we said, you know, somebody has a birthday, I go visit them, or a wedding, or somebody passed away, I go express my sympathy, or somebody's in the hospital, I go visit them. So these are special duties. So there are daily duties, and then there are special duties. And these are called niyatam. These are obligatory duties, which I must do. And that is very important. I must do them. But how should I do it? Without attachment. And we'll talk about that. So what do we mean by karyam? Karyam, as I said, these are my obligatory duties. I must do them, and not doing for me is death. So people say, you know, I have taken on this responsibility. I, you know, somebody gets married and then say, I didn't want children, but now I have children. Now it is such a bother, you know, I have to educate them, I have to send them to college, I have to take care of them and listen to all their, you know, whining and complaining. Either you should have not done it, but once you have a family, once you have a responsibility, then you should do them with the right attitude. So what is the attitude? So they say the attitude is sangam tyaktva phalam chaiva. Sangam means attachment. Phalam means fruit. And as we have talked about, when we talk about fruit, is that when I'm doing the actions, I am not worried about the result. I'm doing what is best. I'm not doing it for I or my, not doing it for a selfish reason, doing it dedicated to the Lord and as a service at His feet. Whatever I am doing, doesn't matter, I may be sweeping the floor, I may be doing the dishes, I may be making the beds, everything is His work. I'm cleaning the house. Why? Because the Lord resides in this house. Then every action becomes, you know, becomes service, becomes pure. Every action becomes a prayer. So whatever activity I do, if I do it with that correct attitude, A, without the fruit, and secondly, without attachment. What is attachment? Attachment is I plus I want. So when an activity is done with that attitude of me, I am doing it and I want it, then it develops, I get attached. Because I want this more and more. Once I get something, then I want two. Then I got two, then I want four, I want eight. So it creates more greed, it creates more selfish. I get attached, I get so dependent on that, I get so bound. So attachment is where my mind is then focused only on the result, only on what I will get. And then there is no question of giving. So when a person works with that attitude of I plus I want and it is for me, then these actions become impure. But if the actions are done, it is the right thing to do. I'm through my actions, I'm serving the world. I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm working. I'm at His feet, and whatever comes to me, it is from Him. You know, with that attitude, whatever I have is His gift to me. So Swami Chinmayananda says, whatever we have is the Lord's gift to us. What we do with what we have is our gift to Him. So what you have, how are you going to use your talents? How are you going to use your time? Everybody has 24 hours. Do you use it for yourself or for others? Everybody has the same body, mind, and intellect. And how are you going to use your equipment? That is the attitude is very important. And then some people say, you know, I have given up money. I think money is the root of all evil. Now, excessive attachment to money is the root of evil. But if you want to learn how to handle money, you should read Mahatma Gandhi's, you know, biography, his life. He hundreds of thousands, lakhs of rupees came in his hand all the time. He was collecting money, but not a penny he kept for himself. There's a story, one, a lady came to him and she bowed down to him and she was folding her hands and she had these beautiful golden bangles. He says, give me these bangles, very expensive. He says, yeah, give me these bangles. So she gives it. He says, yeah, I'm going to sell them and help so many pure people. And you will look much more beautiful without these bangles. He says it will lighten your hand and lighten your mind. So money, if it is used properly, can be a source of service. But if the money is just kept in the bank or in some mutual fund or some stocks and it's just for me, myself and I, then such a money, that's why they say it's like water. You know, water, if it is moving water is pure. But if water stays in one place, it becomes turbid, it becomes a pond and starts smelling and becomes green. So similarly, when money comes to us, I should use it to serve others, to help others. Of course, I need to keep some for myself, but my main purpose, there's a very beautiful poem by Kabir Das. He says, Sai itna dijiye, jame kutum samaye, main bhi bhookha na rahun, sadhu na bhookha jaye. He says, oh Sai, oh Lord, give me enough so that I may have enough to take care of my family. I should not be hungry, and if a person comes to my house, I should have enough to feed him. You know. So beyond that, excessive accumulation only creates more problems. So that is why they say money also should be handled carefully. Now, what are our duties? As we said, there are obligatory duties. We have duties to our family. As we said, if I have a wife, you have children, you have a husband, then I have certain duties. I must take care of them. I must make sure that they are well educated. I must sacrifice. And we find that, you know, in a mother's case, sometimes there are instances where she will herself go hungry so that the child should be fed. Or a father may want to buy a new motorcycle or something like that, but he sacrifices. He says, okay, I'll walk to work. So my son has, you know, good clothes, or I have to pay his tuitions and all. So duty to the family is very important, and also duty to our parents. And that is an obligatory duty. There is no choice. You are not doing anybody a favor if you are taking care of your old parents. That is required. And people will come and say, they will laugh at you. Why are you doing it? That old man, he's so old. Let him die. You know, why are you taking care of him? He has lived his life. He's now not even contributing to society. Or they will laugh at you. They'll say, you have three other brothers and sisters. Why are you alone keeping three? Why don't you send him 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, four brothers? He said, is he like a piece of furniture that you move him 3 months, 3 months each? No, I should be blessed. I should be honored that I have the opportunity to take care of my parents and my, you know, so that attitude should be an attitude of gratitude, an attitude because they have done so much for us. When I was young, they carried me and, you know, took care of me and changed me and fed me. Now it is my duty to give back. So giving up that kind of a duty is called tamasik or rajasik tyaga, but performing the duty because it is the right thing to do without I or my is called satvik. Now, I was listening to Swami Ishwaranandaji's commentary, and he talks about giving up or sattvic tyaga is at three levels. This is a very, very interesting way to look at it. I actually had never thought about it. But he said that sacrifice or giving up can be at three levels. It is all sattvic, but it is progressively evolutionary. So, the first one is, you give up the results. As we said, I am working not for myself, I am working for others, I am doing my best. And then whatever the results come, I take it as His prasad, as His grace, the Lord, whatever I deserve, I have got. Not that I want this, I want, and when we go to the temple or the church, you know, we go as beggars, you know, God, give me this, give me this, give me this. Then we have a long list of 18 items, you know, that we, and then out of which 17 He gives us, what happened to the 18th? Why didn't I get? So our prayer, they say we don't pray to God, we pray upon God. P-R-E-Y. Instead of praying to God, we pray upon Him. You know, how can I get like a tiger preys upon a deer? So we pray upon God, I can get, let me get the maximum. No, our attitude of prayer should be gratitude. Lord, I'm thankful for whatever I have. Be grateful, be content. Does not mean that you don't work hard. And then truly, if you are in pain, you can go and, you know, go to the church or temple and sit in front of the Lord, and in His presence will give you peace of mind. But ultimately, I get what I deserve. And with that attitude, you go to the Lord and say, it's okay, whatever I have, I am happy, I'll make the best of it. So give up the results. And so what one we should do, Swamiji in his commentary says, that every day do one activity without looking for results, without looking for what am I going to get. Do one activity every day for somebody else, without even the person acknowledging, without even the person knowing, without even the person thanking me. There's a very beautiful story. I'll tell that today. There was this four-year-old boy and six-year-old girl. They were walking from the beach, and they were passing a store, and so this girl sees a very beautiful doll in the window, and she looks there and she stops, and you know, she's just fascinated by the doll. So this four-year-old boy said, don't worry, I'll get you this doll. So he goes into the shopkeeper and he says, you know that doll in the window, how much is it? So shopkeeper, you know, looks at him, he says, how much can you pay for it? He said, well, I just picked up these shells from the seashore. I can give you four shells. That's all I can give you. So shopkeeper says, okay. So he takes the four shells and gives her this doll. Gives him this doll, and he goes out. He's very happy, and he gives it to his sister, and they start dancing. And so this the shopkeeper's employee, you know, the assistant, he says, sir, what did you do? He says, you gave this such an expensive doll for four shells? I don't understand. What kind of business is this? He said, look, for him, those shells are very valuable. At this moment, They are very important and he thinks they are worth a lot. And so what he did was in his mind it was a fair trade, shells for dog. But when he grows up, he'll remember this incident that somebody gave me a precious doll for 4 shells. And that will increase his faith in mankind, that there are lots, so many good people in the world. And he will then become an instrument of helping others. He said this is a long-term lesson that this child will get just from this one act. So that is called working without fruit, because you are not looking for what I can get, but what I can give. So that kind of an attitude with which a person works, that is called sattvic. So that is the first one. Where I am doing it, the I is still there, the doer is still there, but the motive is pure. So it's more important, as Barbara said, the motive rather than what am I doing. So that is the first step. The second step, a little higher than that, is that the person is working, but he says activities are happening because of prakriti. Prakriti means nature. So my body is acting according to its nature. That means my eyes are seeing, my ears are listening, my lungs are breathing, my heart is beating. Each part of me is doing its activity according to its nature. The eyes cannot hear or the ears cannot see. The eyes are seeing, the ears are listening. Whatever is happening because of its nature, its prakriti. But what am I doing? I am the witness. I am that witnessing self, the consciousness, Om, the life principle. And in my presence, the body, mind, and intellect are working. So the body is working. The mind is feeling the emotions. The intellect is thinking the thoughts. So the activities are going on in my presence, but I do not participate. So what he is doing is, he is withdrawing from the doer to the witness. I am watching what is happening. He's still working. It's not that he is not working, but the involvement is less. So slowly he is detaching from the objects, emotions, thoughts, from the BMI, to the witness. So that is a slow evolution in my thinking. The first thinking was pure, but it was, I am the doer, I am doing. And that's good, as long as you have the, not I and my, but for everybody. Then slowly he says, I don't do it in my presence, prakriti acts. So this body, mind, and intellect are working. So he becomes a witness. And they say that this is one of the, for spiritual seekers, this is a very powerful method for evolution, is to be a witness. And I was told by Swami Ishwarananji, I've told here before in this class also, be a witness of your mind constantly. What we practice in meditation, I'm sure some of you do meditate in the morning. So that attitude of witness, where I am watching my thoughts, I'm watching my mind, carry that attitude of witness throughout with you, throughout the day, Sakshi Bhav. So I am aware of what my mind is thinking. So if somebody disturbs me and gets me angry, my mind is angry. And somebody gets me sad, my mind is sad. Somebody gets me happy, my mind is happy. So when I do that, when I have that witness attitude, there may be anger, there may be sorrow, there may be joy. And the mind will go through different emotions throughout the day. But I will not be that affected, and I'll be able to recover much quicker. If I'm angry, and I say, oh, I'm so angry, then I may slap somebody. But if I become a witness and say, why is my mind angry? Then that same anger will very quickly die down. Same thing, sorrow. I am in a very sorrowful mood. I'm so sad. No, say, I am not sad. My mind is sad. But I am the self. I am the witnessing consciousness. And the mind is so sad because of the situation. I do what I can to fix it, but I do not let it disturb my equilibrium. So being as a witness, Sakshi Bhav, is a very, very powerful method to detach yourself from the day's fluctuation. And at the same time, sometimes very happy. Ha, 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 I am the greatest. I am the happiest. I am so successful. That also becomes an obstacle. That also you say, okay, now my mind is happy. That's fine. You know, one day it is happy. One day it will be unhappy. One day it is unhappy. It will be happy. So the happiness and unhappiness will come. Success and failure will come. Joy and sorrow will come. Heat and cold will come. Health and ill health will come. But those are all the activities of the body, mind and intellect. I am not involved. I am the self. So evolving from doer to that I am the witnessing consciousness, and the body, mind and intellect are working in my presence, just as electricity will say, I am not involved. When I flow, the bulb lights up as light, the fan moves as, you know, rotation, the air conditioner cools, the heater heats, the refrigerator cools. Everything is happening in my presence, but I don't do anything. Electricity doesn't do anything. But in the presence of electricity, the different appliances work according to, like the air conditioner will cool and the heater will heat. But electricity, so I'm not involved. I'm just the presence. In my presence, everything happens. So that is a second step. The highest, which only can happen in deep meditation, and which ultimately is the result of deep meditation, is where nothing exists. This whole world is an appearance, is a temporary appearance. We're not saying that the world does not exist, but the world appears and disappears. Like this tree was here today. Now, tomorrow the tree may not be here. It may get cut. Or this building, you know, 10 years ago was not there. It is here today. It may not be here in the future. I was, you know, born a few years back. Now I am here. In the future, I will not be there. So whatever is appearing or disappearing is temporary, is not real. It is just an appearance. What is permanent, what alone is real, is the consciousness, the self, the Brahman, the I, that spirit. That alone is. So when we say real, we do not mean that I don't see it. Or when I say unreal, when they say the world is unreal, it does not mean that the world does not exist. That means it is temporary. It is there, it will eventually be gone. Even this whole universe will end, you know, when all the stars become black holes and everything collapses. But what will remain is that I, that consciousness, that Brahman. And that alone is the reality. That alone is permanent. That alone exists. Everything else is an appearance, like the rope and the snake. You know, that example where the rope is there, but in the darkness, I project a snake upon it. And I think that the rope is a snake and I get scared. But when I shine a light, then I see the rope alone is real. The snake was a projection. So when I in deep meditation experience my true nature as self, then what I see once I come out of that is that I see this world, everything is that one reality. And these names and forms are appearances. Just as the rope, on the rope, there is an appearance of a snake. So upon that Brahman, that consciousness, this world is an appearance, is temporary. And it does not mean that the person does not recognize the world or that the person is blind, but he sees oneness, that one reality alone is appearing as this whole universe. So that universal love, that universal. And secondly, he deals with the world as if it's a play, as if it's a movie, as if it's an act. And yes, I am here, and whatever years I am, I'll do my best. Whatever job I have been assigned by the director up in heaven, the Lord who is everywhere, whatever job has been given to me, I'll do it to the best of my ability. But this world is a play, it's a act, it's a movie. He does not give too much reality or too much importance, because the one reality alone is that, and that is called the Advaita, the oneness, where there is only one, there are no two. God and I are not separate, but everything is Him, including me. So that is the highest state. So the first one is I give up. The first one is I do the actions with the unselfish motive. Second is I become a witness, see the world as the witness. And there are two, me and Prakriti, the self and nature. And in the third one, the Advaita, where the self alone is everything. Whatever I see is that Lord alone, everything is that. And that is the hallmark of a great saint or a great prophet, where that universal love for everybody, and that we see in Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, all the great saints and, you know, prophets who have come have seen that oneness because of their experience of the truth. They have to experience the truth within themselves. Then you can see the truth everywhere. And that is why the benefit of meditation is that in that silence of deep meditation, when even the body, mind and intellect disappear, when that person is not even conscious of his or her body and mind becomes completely still, in that silence, the experience that you have, that the self alone is, that is then translated out into the world. So these are the steps of Sattvic Tyaga. Doing the activity, what is to be done as a service of the Lord and without attachment and without fruit. So that is the highest. Any more comments?
So we are at the stage of I alone, which is the highest.
Right.
Not impermanent, so does it occupy space?
No, space is in it. It actually contains space. Because the five elements, space, air, fire, water and earth, constitute this universe. But the Brahman, the total consciousness, is even beyond space. Actually, space is contained in it, in that total consciousness. It's not the consciousness is not in space, but it supports even space. It is that highest, yes. So it's not in space, but space is in it, in that.
Something else that's not altogether real.
Right.
It just strikes me as somehow irrelevant to what Tyaga really is all about. Could you comment on what it's like?
No, it's a very good, but I think Jesus experienced it when he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. He saw himself in all. It does not mean that this person becomes useless or becomes indifferent. He actually becomes more compassionate, because then there is no me, and then when that person is giving the doll to that, he will still give the doll, but there is no sense of I am giving to anybody. It is me alone. I am that boy. So when I give myself a gift, do I feel that I am doing a great job? No, I give myself this book, or I give myself a dollar. No. So when he is giving the doll to the child, he says, I am giving it to myself. So he doesn't even have that sense of achievement. It spontaneously it came and I just did it. So even that sense of that I did something is no longer exists, because there is no difference between that shopkeeper and that boy. That oneness.
I follow you, but I don't see the virtue of the person giving the doll to himself.
No, he has given it to, he has done the right thing, but without the ego that I am the doer. The doership is gone. It is just happening. And ultimately, actually, at least I have not experienced that, but people who have experienced that state of supreme nirvana, what Buddha accomplished and what Shankaracharya and all, they still function in the world, but then for them, the world is like a play, is like an act, is like a movie, which is happening, and they do whatever is required at that moment. But they do not get attached. They do not give much reality, because they have seen the higher world. See, you and I have not seen it. And so it's like a young girl, and you're telling her about, what it means to be married and what it means to have a husband. She has no concept, because she's only 5 years old. For her, marriage is very different than for an 18-year-old girl. So I think in my understanding, we are still at the level of number one. Or maybe at the level of two. So you and I cannot understand the level of the third, because it's like a high school student trying to understand quantum mechanics of a PhD student. Until you have reached a PhD level, you won't be able to. So those who have experienced that, they say that is supreme state. That is the supreme state of bliss, which we all need to reach. They still work. They still do what, in fact, their actions are more pure than the guy at the level one, because they don't even have the sense of doership. Everything spontaneously happens, and it is out of inner joy, because to be one with that self is supreme joyful. That's why the nature of God is Sat Chit Anand, existence, consciousness, and bliss. And it is that highest state of bliss. And when they work at that level, they don't work for happiness. They work out of happiness. See, we work for happiness, that by doing this, I'll get happy. But they work out of happiness as an expression of their joy, everything is happening. So I think it's a more evolved state. That's my understanding. I know you may, maybe you agree. Or, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
In this life, sometimes people say, why are you giving money to this all the time or this one? But maybe subconsciously you owe that person?
Could be. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Or that's one way. If you give somebody, maybe you owe somebody, or if somebody steals from you and takes it away, I sometimes say that, you know, maybe I owed him in my past life and my debt is pura, you know, my debt is over. Or if he has stolen, then some future life he'll have to give it back. So then you retain, you
don't
lose.
Know why you're giving sometimes,
right.
Feel like you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, that's a very good. Thank you. That's a good point. That's something.
Theoretically. The example, a person who is at the third level, he gives the doll, but does he take the shells?
Yeah, he will.
He will take the shells.
To make that boy happy.
Okay.
Because the boy has, you know, so like look at his point of view also. Yeah, he may even just choose to give it, but higher would be to take that shells and, you know, lock it in his safe so that the boy feels that. But he doesn't have the sense of, I have done him a favor. See, in that story, he said, I have done him a favor. Tomorrow, he will remember and do a favor to somebody else, which is very pure. But still that I, the doer, is there. But in the third case, not even the doership is not there. So it is just a gradual evolution, I think.
So, right. Because you might not reach there, but you will involve doing all this.
Yeah. But again, I emphasize, meditation is very helpful, because if you meditate regularly and if you learn how to meditate, you can progress from 1 to 2 to 3. And the more you meditate, the more you learn, the more you progress. And you know, I'm not trying to, you know, promote my class, but we do have a 6:30 every Thursday evening where we teach people how to meditate. I also have a YouTube video. I can email it to you. You can watch it, which is a recording of what is. So regular meditation will help you to evolve. Otherwise, you will remain at level one. And that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to go to level two and three, you have to meditate. That is the only way. Otherwise, you will remain in the world. There's nothing wrong with that. You will do a lot of good. But if you want to go beyond the world to the higher world, you have to meditate. That's the only way. Without that, the second and third stage is very difficult to reach.
Is there any attachment to the motive of, you know, upbringing that thought of selflessness or service,
right?
In the, you know, in that boy's mind,
but
is he attached to that motive?
Right. But I think it's a very pure motive. I don't think he's attached. I think he's doing it because anytime you do anything, there is going to be a result. So he's not attached to it. If he was attached, he wouldn't give that expensive doll. But he just is explaining to that boy, I mean to his assistant, why he did it. Because otherwise it would be considered a very foolish action. So it's not that there is a motive or a selfishness. It is that what will be the consequences of this action. He's explaining to his assistant that every action has some consequence. He's not attached to it, at least. Doesn't seem like it from the story.
Yeah,
it is a spontaneous act of goodness. But he knows that this will, like they say, not do one act of, you know,
kindness.
There's this
random
act of kindness. I'll do one every day.
Yeah.
It's so that why if I give space to somebody, you know, to like in the car, I, you know, traffic, I give somebody space. Tomorrow they will give to somebody else. You know, things like that. So if I give something to somebody, it will multiply. So any act of goodness multiplies. The same as an act of badness. Like if I hurt somebody,
oh, yeah,
then she will go and hurt somebody in her house, her husband or her children, and then the children will go and fight with their neighbors. So good or bad actions all have a consequence, cascading effect or a whirlpool effect. So as much as I can be a force for good, to that extent I'm contributing to society.
When we get purified through the Sattvic Tyaga,
right,
how do we come to experience such a higher spiritual experience?
I think it's automatic. Once you remove the dirt, the self is always shining. The self is always shining. It is a dirt. It's like the sun is shining, but I have a dirt of black paint covering the window. The sun wants to come through, but it can't. But as I clean the window with soap and with solution and with cleansing agents, slowly, slowly I remove that black paint and dirt. The sun, which was always shining, can come through. So the self, the Lord within me is always shining, is always there. That's why I'm walking, talking, but I do not experience the presence of the Lord. To the extent I purify my mind, reduce my vasanas, I will experience. That's why when you're in the presence of a saint, it's like you're in the presence of God himself, because they have, there's no gap between them and God. That's why Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen my Father." Means the Father in heaven and I are one. So that experience, and the same thing Buddha said, you know, that nirvana, same thing Shankaracharya said, that oneness. So that can only come when you have close to zero vasana. So as you purify your mind, it automatically will happen. But meditation will expedite that. But as you purify, that's why even when Swami Tejomayananda ji came, the first sentence he said when he sat here for meditation, he said, purify your mind. That was the first sentence I remember Guruji said it so clearly. Purify, purify, purify. Like they say now in real estate, it is location, location, location. In spirituality, it is purify, purify, purify. That's all you can do. Purify your mind, give up the results, and reduce your selfishness, and automatically you will become close to God. And that's what happens when you are doing something like that person giving the shell. He was so close because he felt so much joy within. He was close to that inner truth. So, yeah. So automatically it happens. All our job is to purify. That's it. Reduce the vasana.
After you do meditation, you still have to act in the world, right?
Oh yeah, no. Action is very important. That's why the whole Gita talks about Karma Yoga. Actually, Karma Yoga is the third chapter and meditation is the sixth. So Krishna is telling us that first you do Karma Yoga, then you do, in fourth you do Tyaga, you do unselfish work. And in the fifth you give up the doership, then you are ready for meditation. So you're doing chapter 3, 4 and 5 first, then you come to chapter 6. So otherwise what happens is people suddenly learn, you know, read a book on meditation and they start sitting and saying Om. It doesn't do anything. You have to have done those. Again, we're not saying that you have to completely become a totally, saint and then you sit for meditation. Meditation also helps to dissolve the vasanas. So they feed upon each other. The more you service you do, the better your meditation, the better your meditation. The less your vasanas, the better. So it's all a multi-pronged process. It's not, you cannot do one. That's why they say either all of you go or none of you go. There's a very famous line that if you want to go to God, all of you have to go. Physically, you have to be pure. Mentally, intellectually, you cannot have impurities and then expect to go there. So all of you have to go together. All of you go or none of you go. That's a very important line. I'd heard from some very wise person. And she said, this is very, all of you go or none of you go. You cannot say, because you cannot cheat your way into. You cannot cheat your way to God. Thank you. That's good. Anything else? Okay, we'll end with the closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhavave. Om shanti 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 hi, hari om shri guru.